and know that we're not here just playing church. I'm not going around with a little pencil and a checkbox saying, oh, they made it. Everybody's here. You get a gold star, and the ones who haven't, yeah, well, hey, shame on you. No, this is so much more than just being here. We get to fellowship and partake in what I do believe is a taste of what fellowship will be like in heaven. If you take your Bibles, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 28 with me. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to look at three different points here about the necessity of the gospel. There are times where the Lord puts upon my heart the need for the gospel, and those times usually come when I start hearing famous preachers. When I start hearing people make a call to action, and the call to action has nothing to do with put your faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. It always blows my mind because for people like that, either number one, they know the gospel and they're not giving it, or number two, they have an unclear message and they're willing to give that message. But in both cases, no one is taking into consideration there may be somebody listening who's not saved. That's always a possibility. One of the big draws about being on WTBN here in the local area was the amount of reach you could have, you know, and that's kind of how AM radio stations advertise themselves. For FM stations, there's a way with cell towers that you can track how many people are tuning in and you can get real-time statistics. But if you go with an FM station, you're going to be paying some serious dough, right? Because there's advertisers that are going to be paying in and all sorts of stuff like that, and that airtime becomes very valuable. Well, Bible Line never had a shot with FM radio. We just never had that kind of support. So for a long time, we did AM radio, and the only way you knew about what if the station was profitable was really in three marks. Number one, your donations. Number two, whether the station was willing to re-sign you at the end of the year. And number three, who contacted you about your show. Now, when you think about Dr. Hank Lindstrom, do you think that show was profitable? There'd be people who'd come in here solely because they heard him on the radio. Okay? And so it was a profitable thing. But the only thing they could tell us was, you have X amount of reach on this station. We don't know how many people tune in. We don't know how many of those people are repeat ones or they're the first time. But you have this potential. Okay? And that was always a driving factor for the ministry to continue to re-up the radio program, because this is our thought. That may be one more person who's never heard the gospel before. So we're going to pay the guys a lot of money, tens of thousands of dollars a month, to be on the radio, and then we're going to trust the Lord to take His word, and it will not return unto Him void. We're going to plant, we're going to water, God gives the increase. So the gospel's given every single time that Bible Line was on the radio. What blows my mind is there are programs that have the resources. I'm talking millions of dollars on several stations throughout the world. And they don't give the gospel but one time a year. Easter. And even then it's muddy. It's not clear. It just blows my mind. And recently my friend in New Jersey, Norm Diamante, has been doing a wonderful series on YouTube where he's taking these clips of famous pastors and he's putting it on the table. This is what they said. He's not editing it. He's not changing anything. He's simply saying, this is what they say you must do to go to heaven. And you sit there and you go, I mean, they couldn't say it any clearer. Not that the gospel is clear, but their error could not be more evident in the things that they say. And so I came up with this study. It's just a simple 3 points tonight. But we're going to talk about the necessary gospel. It is necessary. It is a necessary message. Number one, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's where you are in Matthew chapter 28. Look in Matthew chapter 28 there in verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, we see the phrase, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus Christ taught the necessity of the gospel. You will not find anywhere in the New Testament where that commandment has been rescinded. As a matter of fact, in Luke, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but in Luke chapter 24, at the end there, Jesus says, wait to get this message out. Wait until I give you power. from on high. That power was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came down 10 days after the Lord ascended on the day of Pentecost. That's when the church was born. You and I are still in that age. So you and I, if we are saved and we are disciples, we are disciplining ourselves after the teachings of Christ. That's what a disciple is, by the way. You can be a disciple of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, you can be a disciple of Costco over Sam's Club. Whoever you choose to put yourself in submission to and follow their teaching. I mean, it's all over the place. But if you are saved and serving, you have the command to go into the world with a message. There is a necessity for you to do that. That has not been rescinded. There's places in the New Testament where it is said that if the rocks were given this responsibility, the rocks that we kick down the road and use as landscaping, if they were given the instruction, they would shout out. How much more should we be vocal about what? The gospel message. That's where it needs to be, folks. That's where the focus needs to be. Now look in Luke chapter 24. My second point here is a quote from Luke chapter 24. The quote is, "It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." What's the point of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? For the salvation of souls. That's the point. And that's the message that we need to get out. That's one of the reasons why he died on the cross, so that the Son of Man would be lifted up. Look in verse 46 of Luke chapter 24. "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among" how many nations? All nations, listen now, beginning where? And where did the Holy Spirit come down? You study Acts, which I always, always encourage you to study as a full session. Look at the entire book. It started in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, the church got so dense, so effective, that at the opportunity for Stephen, remember, the deacon Stephen, at the opportunity for him to, in the eyes of Jewish culture, blaspheme the high priest, they went ahead and broke the barrier. There was a line that hadn't been crossed. That line was martyrdom. Someone hadn't died yet. You know, you don't talk about we all have the freedom of speech and how important that is. To that point, that freedom had been honored. The line got crossed. And they killed Stephen. And Saul, who would later become Paul, collected the coats of the men who cast the stones. Then Saul was placed into commission as he persecuted the church, and the church began to, imagine for a moment if you had a steady stream of water and it's going into your hands and it's cupping through. Over time, it's going to overflow and push out. That water has to seek a way out. That's what it was happening in the church. It was filling up. It was filling up. The persecution happened, and they got pushed everywhere to the point where, think about it, when Jesus ascended, there was one body of believers in Jerusalem. When he wrote a letter in Revelation, he wrote to seven different churches, and where they were all scattered everywhere, Ephesus, Smyrna, all those places. So the gospel kept pushing that news out. The thing that is important here is verse 48. "And ye are witnesses of these things." Of what things? 46. Christ suffered, and he rose from the dead the third day. The disciples there, the 11, remember, because they had Judas was gone, but those they saw the resurrection. They heard of his teachings. They were instructed, go and say stuff about that. Go teach that. It was necessary that they were obedient to that command. You realize how ineffective they would have been if they kept their mouths shut? It's a necessary message that needs to get out. Okay, last point here is on 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16 about this necessary gospel. This is what actually started this study tonight. I actually started the research for these points here. Paul makes a really convincing statement in verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. I have seen over many, many, many years, not me living many, many years, but I've looked at where do people slip up. Here's where they slip up. They build an idol to a man. That's where they slip up. You study Jack Hiles, Hiles Anderson College. Great disciplined man. Had some really good things to say about the Bible. Conservative, fundamental, huge bus ministries. People built an idol to him. This is how people's spirituality would go. What does Jack Hiles say I should do? That becomes a problem. Because now a person is looking at the man to replace the word of God. When people ask me, Pastor Jesse, what would you do in this situation? I say, let's see what God's word says. Let's come to a consensus on God's word. In the board meeting we had a couple of weeks ago, there was an issue that came up over some interpretation of the scripture. Not one of the elders who were in that meeting pushed their own personal opinion to interpret the scripture in such a way that would fit their needs, like our media does today. Oh, how can we fit, you know, how can we fit this into the Fox News hole? And we'll make one for the CNN hole. And then for the Gateway Pundit too. So everybody gets their fill. No, let every man, or let God be true and every man a liar. Let's see what God has to say and we'll go with that. What does God's word say here, folks? That Paul had nothing to glory of. Why? For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Well, what is Paul's necessity? Why did he use that word, necessity? Why did he look at it in a way that it was necessary to teach the gospel? Look in Acts. Acts chapter 26. You can let 1 Corinthians 9:16 go. Look in Acts chapter 26. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, make sure that you share the stream, comment, interact. We definitely want to hear your thoughts. Acts chapter 26. This is Paul's defense before Agrippa. He is recounting the road to Damascus, and he says here in Acts chapter 26 and verse 16, this is where I believe in 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, necessity was laid upon me. Here's what he said. But rise, and these words are in red because Paul is quoting Christ. Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Boy, we better be paying attention. Here's the reason why the road to Damascus happened. It's very clear. To make thee a minister, number one, and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Stop for a moment. This is why I believe that pause is a legitimate apostle, because he did see the resurrected Christ. And that's how he got what he wrote in Galatians. That's why he was able to say, my gospel is not from a man, I heard it from Christ. Jesus said right here, the things which I will, it had not yet happened, appear unto thee. Moving on. 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto now I send, whom now I send thee. Here's the purpose. You're going to be a minister. You're going to be a witness of the things you've seen now and the things I'm going to show you. I'm delivering you from something into something. And here's the into. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You want a gospel tract from Jesus Christ? Does Jesus have to give the gospel? There it is. And people will grab onto the wrong word there. They'll say, it says turn, see? Folks, the very definition of repentance is to change your mind. Any savior outside of Christ is pointing into darkness. You believe on Christ. You're no longer looking at the darkness. You're looking at the light. And besides that, it says that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. That is in what? The turning of their sins? in me, Christ. That's Paul's necessity. That's what got him up and he skipped breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's what got him up and got onto a ship and went through shipwreck. That's what got him up and went to a stoning where he was brutally beaten and martyred for his faith, falsely accused, arrested. That was his necessity. Thank God for a man like Paul who said, I'm going to do what the Lord said to do. I have a necessary burden. This is not if the schedule permits. This is what I must do. Now, what is our necessity? I'm going to show you three verses here that demonstrate our necessity for the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. I told you this a couple of weeks ago. I was watching this piece of content on social media, and it was this channel, and it was just so silly. There were these guys going around with microphones, and they're asking other guys, like, you know, how do you get a girl to sleep with you, blah, blah, blah. And they go around, they're, like, asking these questions. And I didn't see anything else about the show about this except this one kid. And this is the point of the clip. It was on a conservative site, and it was like, wow, this is kind of refreshing. And these guys who are drunk, they have a microphone, they shove the microphone in this kid's face and say, how do you get a woman to sleep with you, blah, blah, blah. He said, you don't need a woman, you need the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, whoa, where's this guy? Now, he said repent and believe. I don't know what he meant by that. But I went in the comment section, and to my surprise, people were pretty excited about that. It was refreshing to see a man stand up for something other than his own pleasure, other than his own self-fulfillment, you know? How big his biceps are, how much wealth he has, what color his car is. None of that stuff matters. It's all going to fall away. Here's what matters. You putting your faith in Jesus or you trusting yourself? 1 Thessalonians 2:4 gives us some very clear instructions on necessity. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. That's a pretty express instruction. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Look in Galatians chapter 2 in verse 4. Galatians chapter 2 in verse 4. Paul is making a case here. He's about to rebuke Peter openly for showing favoritism. But he says in verse 4 of Galatians chapter 2, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily, which means privately, to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they may bring us into bondage. Verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. We didn't allow this teaching to continue for even an hour. For what purpose? That the truth of the gospel might, what? Continue with you. Remember that illustration I told you about water in your hands? And at a certain point, the water has to get out to contain it. It won't be contained. That's the gospel. Don't let it stop with you. Don't let the cycle of bearing fruit end with you. Lead somebody to Christ. Get the gospel in a position in your mind where it is necessary and get it out. Somebody is waiting for you to reach them. Somebody's waiting. What a shame it would be if we put our mouth in a tie and our feet in concrete and never did anything with this wonderful gift that has been bestowed on us. It's necessary that we get the gospel out. And then the last one here is in Revelation chapter 22. Such a good verse we'll look at here. Revelation chapter 22 in verse 17. The invitation to come and drink freely. Folks, I remember playing flag football as a kid. I hated it. You want to know why? Because I was a little chubby tubby dude. When I went to JCPenney's, my grandma, who loved to just feed me all this stuff, you know, as grandmas do, we wouldn't go to the slim section. We'd go to the husky section. And I remember playing flag football and running around and going, what is the purpose of this? But I every time we'd practice flag football and be done with our games and whatever, there's nothing better than a nice glass of water. Not, you know, not looking for a Diet Coke or milk, you know. A nice glass of water. So refreshing. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, how refreshing a glass of water is. What a wonderful illustration that is given to us as an invitation to get saved. Come and drink freely. Look what it says. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, I love that. Kind of grinds my gears. You got to pay for water in some places. Should be free. On whose authority? Well, Jesus used it as an illustration for eternal life. Try that next time you're at Publix in the checkout line. This Zephyr Hills water, it's free on the Lord's command. Amen. You will get in trouble if you walk out without paying for it. But the illustration here that I want to give you as we're wrapping it up is there's a necessity here. The Spirit and the bride, the church, the invitation that John is concluding his revelation that he sees from the Lord and the Holy Spirit and God the Father revealing these things to him. What's the end all be all at the end? Come and receive. Be a part of it now. Don't wait. Whosoever will. Boy, that has no boundaries. None. Oh, except if you're this. Well, except if you're of this kind of lifestyle, you can't get that. Well, if you've done this before, sorry, you're disqualified. Whosoever will. You want to get saved? Go get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. When the Philippian jailer heard that, he understood it well enough that he went back to his home and he told his wife and he told his kids, and they understood. But sir, he didn't have a Bible college education. He had the message of eternal life. That's all you need. If you understand the gospel now, you've been equipped with the necessity. The necessity has been laid upon you. Close your Bibles as I give you this last illustration. There is another group of people outside of the Scripture that is rooting for you to share the gospel. And it is those who have already died and are in hell at this moment, in the heart of the earth. We have an account in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man who was separated from Abraham by a great gulf. And at that time, all of those who looked towards the coming Messiah and placed their faith in him for eternal life were in another place called paradise. The rich man was separated from them in the heart of the earth in torment, where I believe every individual who dies now without Christ goes. He asked for a couple of things before he asked a big thing. The first thing was, can he come over? And Abraham said, no, I can't get to you, you can't get to me. The second thing he asked was, can I have a drop of water to cool this burning on my tongue? And the answer was no. The next thing that he said was, somebody go and tell my brothers. Tell them so they do not join me here. It's a dark thought. And it's dark and deep because it's true. Those who have died and are separated from God now and experiencing anguish and torment are rooting for you to go and reach their families. I don't know what else is better description for necessary. Necessary. We've got to get gospel focused around here. This has got to be the heartbeat of this ministry. And it is. But I want to encourage you that if you got people in your ear going, that's all you know, that's all you know, can't you just go on to something else? No. How about you get on my level, bro? Yeah, I say bro. I know, I try not to do it in the pulpit. But how about you get to that level where you're talking about the gospel and I'm talking about the gospel and more people are talking about the gospel? Our brother Jess, he's an encouragement to me. He'll share with me every time that I see him. He's like, I was doing an estimate here, doing an estimate there, and I asked him, where are you going to go when you die? And some people have the right answers and some don't. But he's ready to plant the seed. Oh, that's okay. He'll move on from that, right? That's such baby Christian stuff. No, that's mature stuff. That's somebody who understands the need and wants to get people in front of the Savior. Same thing for you. But I don't have this and I need that. You don't. You have need of nothing. The Bible says you have no need that a man teach you. The Holy Spirit, he'll teach you all things. Boy, if that's an advertisement for getting the college closed down. Let me tell you something. You can read and understand all that you need. But don't put the gospel on the back burner. Well, I've done that. I'll let somebody else do it. Keep sharing the gospel. It is necessary. Amen? If this hand represents you and me, I'll let my wallet represent sin. Put this on top of my hand because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God loves us, but he hates our sin because our sin, it separates us from him. In order to get to heaven, to be with him forever, we have to be perfect, just like God. And what it means by perfect is not complete or mature. It means without sin, and we all fall short. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God forever in a literal fire-burning hell, created for the devil and his angels, but that will also be where sin is sent. There are no amount of good works that can send you to heaven. I leave this wallet empty because of the illustration. Even if this was filled with hundreds of dollars, that's not a valid currency to pay for your sin. What's the wages, the payment for sin? Death. No good works. No prayers to Mary. No turning from something or starting something. Somebody's got to die for this sin. You can turn over a new leaf as much as you want. It will not pay for your sin. This hand will represent Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. He is fully God and he is fully man. And what he did 2,000 years ago is he went to the cross of Calvary and he took all the sin that was punishing us, laid it upon himself, became that sin for us, made a valid payment. And the last thing he cried out before his death was, "It is finished." He died and he was rose again after his burial 3 days later. And now the invitation, which Jesus had said long ago to Nicodemus in the garden at the dead of night, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth." Folks, that's the important message here tonight. You want to see the necessary gospel with the big bright thumbnail and the big exclamation point? What is that a person? What must I do to be saved? "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The moment that you place your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are given as a free gift in that moment the righteousness of God. You are eternally declared justified in the court of God, and you are now adopted into his family. You have a new nature. You have a new home. You have a mediator. You have a seal. You have a new father. And 50 other things that happen in the New Testament. But the most important in these is that you are passed from that death unto life. Why would we want to teach anything else? Let me ask you a question. If you had an opportunity to address the world tonight for 5 minutes, are you prepared to share the gospel? If a microphone was shoved in your face and there was an opportunity for the entire world to hear one thing from you, would you know what you're ready to say? Would you be prepared? Should somebody come into your house looking for the truth? A friend, a coworker? Are you prepared with a conversation that may happen through difficult times of tragedy? Are you ready to move those feet with the gospel? I pray that you are. You don't need a Bible college education. You don't have to be going to church for a certain amount of months before you unlock the gospel mission. You have it now. The woman at the well knew it well enough, she went back to the men in the city and said, "Come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did." She was a soul winner. The Philippian jailer became a soul winner. We have the same opportunity. I say this strongly to encourage you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here tonight and you have yet to put your faith in Jesus Christ for the free gift of everlasting life, will you do so right where you sit? If you did, would you let me know by a raised hand and I'll pray for you? No one's going to tap you on the shoulder, call you down, no song and dance. Simply raise your hand to let me know, "Pastor, that makes sense. I put my faith in Christ tonight. Would you pray for me?" Anyone on the internet as well, YouTube, Facebook, Sermon Audio, Calvary website, write to us, leave a like or comment, email info@calvarytampa.org. We'll be more than happy to reach out to you and get you some material. Father, thank you for the necessary gospel. We know you're coming soon. Let us not be lazy. Let us be faithful till the end. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.